obligation resting upon Abraham's covenant seed. Since the covenant was established not only with Abraham, but with his seed in all generations, a strong obligation rests upon all who stand in that covenant relation. In respect of themselves, they must walk. Walking as those in covenant with God, more particularly to abound in thankfulness for covenant mercy. Covenant state, covenant promises, covenant privileges. There are multitudes that are strangers to grace, so they should be eminently thankful. Walking also includes abounding in loving God. To love the Lord with covenant affection, answering his gracious initiative with devoted hearts. Also, abound in covenant duties. To perform faithfully the covenant duties of faith and obedience. To give themselves wholly to God and all that they are and have, recognizing that they are not their own but belong to him by a gracious transaction. These then, in respect to the seed, in respect to the continuation of the seed, since the covenant extends to Abraham's seed in their generations, then there is a sacred duty that lies upon covenant parents towards their children. They have to educate them and bring them up, not for themselves, not for the world, not for sin, but for God, by whom they are bound by covenant. Covenant children belong peculiarly to God's household, church, and kingdom. Parents, so it goes from walking in this way, but because we're dealing with generations, it goes also to parents and children. And in doing so, covenant children belonging to them, they are stewards of what God has given them. Therefore, Scripture's commands, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. They must be like Abraham. What did Abraham do? He commanded their children after them to keep the way of the Lord. Genesis 18:19. They must diligently instruct them about the mystery of God's covenant in Jesus Christ. So children are to know their covenant privileges and what God promises, and their covenant duties, what God requires. They must be taught how they stand within the visible covenant relation, and they must then personally embrace Christ by faith and obedience, lest they forfeit what is outwardly theirs. From this, all of this comes comfort. The comfort flowing from this covenant to Abraham and his seed. If the covenant was established not only with Abraham, but with his seed in their generations, what singular comfort arises for all of Abraham's true children, and for all of Abraham's true children after them too. Parents may die and leave their children behind. They may not leave wealth or lands or titles or treasures, but they might leave something better. A covenant, promises, and an all-sufficient God, which they are to teach them. God lives forever. His covenant doesn't fail. So parents may commit their children to him with confidence. Even if earthly provision is small, covenant provision is always rich. David says in Psalm 37:25, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. On a deathbed, a true child of Abraham may speak in this way to his children. I must leave you, but I leave you to the God of Abraham. He has taken me into covenant, and you stand within that covenant outwardly with me. He is better able to provide than I. His covenant is your inheritance. Keep this covenant by faith and obedience. Do not cast it away by unbelief, and you shall not lack. For heirs of the world, Romans 4:13, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8:17. What kind of inheritance in that? It's an exceedingly great inheritance. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. So the comfort is God is yours and Christ is yours, and therefore all things are yours. So God establishes covenant not only with Abraham, but also with the seed after him in their generations. Then the substance of God's covenant with Abraham and his seed consists of eminent mercies that are promised on God's part and notable duties that are restipulated by them on their part. Eminent mercies promised by God, notable duties required of Abraham and his seed. So the covenant mercies promised on God's part are eminent. What were some of the things that God did in bringing about this covenant when he dealt with Abram? The initial call and blessing. He said to him, I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 12:2-3. The promise of the land. Unto thy seed will I give this land. Genesis 12:7. The enlargement of the land and the seed. All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Genesis 13:15-16. Assurance. That's always a big thing. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Genesis 15:1. So shall thy seed be. Genesis 15:5. In that same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Genesis 15:18. The formal establishment of the covenant. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17:7. Promises. In fact, reiterated promises that he be a blessing to all the nations. Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Genesis 18:18. And there was what we'll call an oath-bound promise, a confirmation when Isaac was offered. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, and blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed, and the stars of heaven and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Genesis 22:16-18. So all of these promises and all of these things God told him, though expressed at different times and in various ways, substantially contain the same covenant blessings, often temporal yet spiritual in depth. So we could say there are certain aspects that they're temporal, but their depth goes further because they wind up being types and shadows. So all of it may be reduced to certain principal heads to think about what it is that God promised to Abraham. He promised to him divine blessing, an exceeding numerous seed, a great name, victory over his enemies, the inheritance of Canaan, peaceful old age, that he would be his shield, that he would be his exceedingly great reward, and to be a God to him and his seed in an everlasting covenant. That's the marrow of the whole covenant with Abraham. Mercies that were temporary and spiritual, shadow and substance, promise and fulfillment. All comprehended in God's gracious engagement to Abraham and his seed. What would he do then for Abraham and his seed? He would bless them. He would multiply them. He would make his name great. He would make his seed victorious. He would give them Canaan for an everlasting possession. He would close up Abraham's days in a good old age in peace. And he would be then the shield, the exceedingly great reward, and a God to him and his seed in that word, everlasting covenant to them in that particular way. Even though these things are temporal, even though these things are shadows and types, the idea or spiritual depth behind them goes directly to what Jesus has accomplished. So all the covenant mercies promised to Abraham are reduced to these particular heads and these particular ideas. This one is an important one we get into a little bit later. How bountiful God was in making promises of this kind to him, that they would be blessed in receiving all of the things that God promised them. All nations, Jew and Gentile, partake of the benefit of these promises through the Lord Jesus Christ in the completion or performance of all the promises that God promised Abraham.